We're not ashamed to praise the name of the Lord here, are we? We make our boast in God. That's what praise is. It's making your boast in God. Amen. We're praising Him. We're not supposed to boast about ourselves, you know. We're supposed to make our boast in our God. Father God, we thank You right now for all You've done and all You're doing and all You will do in this service. I pray, Lord, that for fresh bread, fresh wine and oil, we thank You for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray You'd feed our spirit, Lord God. God is in the healing business, and we're here to receive from Him. How many know that we really can't achieve salvation? We receive salvation, right? You can't achieve healing. You receive healing, right? It's all about receiving. We're simply receivers. We don't have anything that God didn't first give us. You know, we can't give God glory until He gives us glory. Did you ever think about that? You can't give God anything that you didn't receive, that you don't have. How many know that everything you have came from Him? We give God thanks because we are thankful because God first gave, right? And we give praise to God. Why? Because He first did for us. And our response is to give praise to Him back. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. When somebody does something good for you, you want to thank Him for it, right? And depending on the size of the measure of the gift, usually it would determine the amount of praise you'll give, right? If somebody gives you something they got from the quarter machine, you know, oh, gee, thank you. Unless it was a kid, right? And then you'd overcompensate for that one. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Well, to them, that's a big deal, you know. That's a lot for a kid, man. 25 cents for a kid is a big deal, right? And they did it for you. But how many know that God gives good gifts? So all of His gifts are worthy, amen, of receiving, of being thankful for. You know, I hear some people say, well, the gift of tongues is the least of the gifts. I don't. It's like, it's a gift from God. Are you kidding? It's a language that God gives. So why should we minimize or trivialize anything that God does? How many know that God doesn't give us pieces of Him? Amen. We're not coming to God just asking for stuff. We want Him. And when you get Him, you get everything that comes with Him. So we're asking for His presence. We're seeking not His hand, but His face. If we're just seeking His hand, you know, we're missing it, folks. How many know you got people that will seek your hand, right? They want a handout, so they'll seek your hand. Hey, you got something? You know? But there's a difference when they want to be with you. Because they like you, they love you. Are you with me? There's a difference. God wants us to know how much He loves us. And He wants us to return that love back to Him. He wants us to seek His very person, His face. And not just what we can get. You know, some folks, they just get so caught up. And I've been there too about asking for stuff that we're not even thinking about the person really that we're asking from. You ever been there? We've got needs. We've got needs. God, I've got needs. Now, let me just say, what I'm going to share with you today may shock some of you, maybe not. But I just hope that it implants something, imparts something to us that's going to hopefully wake us up as God has been waking me up about some things. God wants us to receive from Him. God wants us to know who He is. And God wants us to know that who He is, amen, is far better than anything that we receive. Again, so often we are getting caught up in just chasing after wind and sand and temporary things that we miss out on the eternal. The reality is this, is that we have been called to an eternal kingdom. We're citizens of heaven and we're living for that which will be. We are calling in the kingdom now. Amen. For God to do what? To prepare hearts, to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. He is sending us out in the spirit of Elijah, in the power of Elijah. And the message of the gospel today is a message of repentance. And yet, folks, there are many voices today in the land. There are many gospels being presented today where they eliminate the cross. And it becomes all about me. My needs, my wants, my wishes. God, give me. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching or the message of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation." We're going to get back to this, to the message of the cross today. And folks, there's a multiple of gospels being presented today. There are many voices in the land today. And the one that is most appealing is the one that centers all around me. It centers all around you. Isn't that appealing, you know? I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be coddled. I just want to be doted on. I just want to be paid attention to. Come on. Look at me. That's not the gospel at all. The gospel is according to Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do and what is he doing? My meat, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish the work. Amen? To complete his assignment. He said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." But folks, I want you to evaluate everything in light of the Word of God, because there's a lot of messages, folks, that really are not lining up with the full counsel of God here. It's not the same Jesus I'm reading about and that I'm getting to know. It's not even lining up with the teachings of the apostles. It's a totally different gospel. And Satan is behind it. And in all appearances, it's beautiful in appearance. It's white teeth and plastic hair and nice suits and telling people exactly what they want to hear. Tell me how good I am. Come on. Tell me how wonderful I am. Flatter me, please. You flatter me, I'll come. And I'll even tithe. There's a gospel of false grace today. It's false grace and it's false love. It's not real love. And the cross is being eliminated from the whole picture. It's a Christianity that requires no sacrifice, that requires no commitment, that requires no works, that just requires me believing and receiving for everything that I have need of or want. And it becomes all about me feeling good. Come on. Make me feel good and I'll keep coming. Oh, don't challenge my life or my lifestyle. Because if you do, I'm out of here. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. There's a spirit of rebellion. And Jesus said it in Matthew 24, because of lawlessness, the love of many, the agape, actually, Christian love of many will grow cold. It's even happening in the churches. Why? Because we have forgotten him and it's become all about us. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Are we hearing that today? We're hearing it here. There's others that are preaching the truth, folks, but the crowds are flocking to the Colosseums and the big events where they're being told smooth things that tickle their ears and make them feel good. And how can I just be prosperous and happy and blessed? Folks, there is no true prosperity except the prosperity that Christ gives you because you have submitted yourself to his will. There is no true sustenance in the Spirit except the sustenance you get from Him as He feeds you, as you do His will. My meat, my food is to do the will of my Father. We eat, we drink of Him as we submit and obey His voice. Jesus didn't have an agenda. He went with His Father's agenda. Are you with me? What I see my Father do, what I hear my Father speak, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to say. Instead, we come to God with our laundry list, you know, or our list of our wish list. And God, give me this, God, give me this, God, give me that, you know. And so often, it's the problem is, and the reason why we have such a list in the first place is because we're not seeking the kingdom of God. We're seeking stuff and not Him. God said, I'll take care of those things. I'll provide for you. But you've got to seek me first above everything else. Seek the kingdom above everything else. Pay attention to what God wants. Take care of His business and He takes care of your business. Huh. See, we got to twist it around. It's all about my business. I got any time left over, maybe I'll give God some spare change here and there, or I'll show up once in a while and do my church duty thing. No, we've been called to a daily walk, amen? And agape love is a self-sacrificing love. It's unidirectional, but it's self-sacrificing. It's the kind of love, it's a passionate love that means that I'm willing to hurt that you might be blessed. That's the love of God. For God so loved the world, so agape the love, amen, the world, that it hurt. He hurt for you and for me. Because He loves us that much. That's the love of God. That's the love that we are to walk in. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. There is great deception today, folks, taking place. And I believe, folks, that this false grace gospel is sending millions to hell. I said it. There's only one way, and that's through the cross. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? It's not about us. It's about Him now. It's about His stuff, His will, His purposes. Amen? I want to do what God asked me to do. I want to be in the will of my Father. I want to be obedient to that because the day is coming when every knee is going to bow to Him. Amen? Every tongue is going to confess and we shall give an account to Him. What are we doing now with our lives? Are we living out the purpose for which we were created? Or have we erected idols in our hearts, gods that suit ourselves? A Jesus that we kind of created in our own imagination, but He's not the Jesus of the Bible. He's a Jesus that caters to my every want and need. Are you with me? Jesus said, take care of the things that I'm doing in the earth. Amen. Be involved, be connected, be involved in my work here, and I'll take care of your stuff. Too often, we just come to church even because I just want something from God. Now, there's nothing wrong with having needs, amen, and wants. We all have them. But the problem is that we've got the cart before the horse. We're coming because we just want something from God. The first thing that we should want from God is a clean heart. Amen? To know that my heart is right with Him, that my sins are washed away, that I'm in right standing with Him, that's the first priority, and that means I have to kneel at the cross. Amen? I have to come to Jesus by way of the blood, and I have to be honest with God, and I have to be willing to let myself go, amen, and my way go, that I may take up the cross that He offers for me to follow Him. Whenever our theology, our teaching is centered around ourselves and not Christ, it's false. And can I suggest to you today that there is a lot of that being presented right now? That it's become all about the people and their wants and their needs. God knows that we have needs. God is the one who's able to meet our needs. And God wants to meet your needs. But we don't just come to God because we have needs. Are you tracking? It's not about just getting my needs met. Kind of like the child that you struggled and you worked hard and you lavish them with gifts and with blessings, you know, in hopes that the child will see the heart of the giver, amen, of the mom and the dad that had sacrificed so that they could have something nice. And the child takes it for granted and just goes for the gift and forgets all about the giver. You see, that happens naturally, doesn't it? We call it spoiled kids, right? They get spoiled sometimes because everything's always handed to them. And it becomes cheap because there was no investment in it from them. How many know that it does require, folks, an investment of our lives in the purposes of God? It does require that there will be suffering, that there will be difficulties, that there will be tribulation when we truly follow Christ. It does mean that you're not going to be the most popular kid on the block. It does mean that some of your friends will reject you and cast your name out as profane, or you're an intolerant bigot. Are you with me? Because you hold fast to the teachings of Jesus. And you're not bowing down to Baal and compromising to be politically correct so that everybody's going to like you. How many know that Jesus didn't mess around when it came to the truth? Because it's only the truth that's going to set people free. They have to know that their sin is not okay. It was the sins of humanity, our sins, that required that God would give up His only begotten Son on our behalf. It cost God great pain for our salvation. And God is telling us, now join me outside the camp. Are you with me? To that place of Calvary. To join ourselves also in identifying ourselves with His death, burial, and resurrection. I am dead with Jesus and I'm risen with Jesus. I'm dead to what was, I'm alive to what is now. The new life. And I find my joy, my sustenance, my meat in the will of my Father, just as I follow with my Savior Jesus. As we're yoked together and doing this together, I'm also finding that I'm not ever left empty when I'm in the will of my Father. There is daily provision in the will of my Father. And how many know the will of God is not just sitting around asking for stuff? Amen. The will of God means I'm walking with Jesus and we're going to accomplish His purposes in the earth. Most of us are familiar with Peter, who rebuked Jesus when He told him that He was going to the cross. So what did Jesus do? He says, yeah, Peter, I kind of agree with you. No. He turned around and He rebuked him back and He said, get behind me, Satan. Now listen to what He said in Matthew 16:23. He says, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Folks, this is what we need to ask ourselves today. Am I mindful of the things of God, or am I preoccupied with the things of men? Am I more concerned about what people think than what God thinks? Is my life consumed with temporary living rather than eternal living? Am I living for just this world, or am I living for eternity? This is the question, because if we are going to be followers of Jesus, it requires the cross. It requires that we come to the place where it means deny self means to totally disown yourself. You've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. You now belong to Him. Now the life that I live, I'm going to live, amen, according to the will of God. It's no longer I that live, as Paul said, but Christ that lives in me. And I live by faith, amen, in the will of God. See, to Peter, the cross didn't make any sense, did it? He didn't understand. And you know, the same thing is true today, folks. People don't understand the cross. Even in the church, there's people, you know, because of what they sit under, they don't even understand what is the message of the cross. Well, we understand that it was over 2,000 years ago, amen, that Jesus bled and died on that cross, amen, to pay the price that we deserve to pay. He paid our penalty, amen. He took our sins upon Himself. But do you realize, and again we need to be reminded, that Christ is also calling us to join us there in a crucified life with Him. Meaning it's no longer what I think or what I desire or even my plans or my future. I need to take all my dreams, all my goals, all my ambitions, and I need to lay them at the altar and say, God, You decide now what is acceptable to go through the cross into resurrection. God may just say, I want that out of your life. Gone. Scrap it. And other things He's going to say, that you can hold on to. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to breathe my life into it. Are you with me? But the message of the cross, folks, means that we are to join ourselves daily with Him in His purposes. You see, there are those who are deceiving themselves because they don't believe, based upon the false grace gospel, that works are required of believers. It's all grace. What did James say about it? You show me your faith. Okay? He says, I'm going to show you my faith by what I do. I'm going to demonstrate that faith is not passive, it's active. Every case in Scripture, you look it up, every time that God told somebody to do something, amen, it was an act of faith, of obedience is what it was. They had to obey. Obedience meant I have faith in God's Word. I have faith in what God says. If God says to do this, because I have real faith, I will do what He says. Are you hearing me? And it will result in a life of fruitfulness and of works. Because if we're hearers of the Word and not doers, we're deceiving ourselves. Some people think it's just a matter of going to church and being told how wonderful you are and how blessed you are and how to get rich and then live the rest of your life and just total consumed with yourself. Jesus said, if you will come after me, if you will be my disciples, it's going to require, it's going to cost you the rest of your life. But I want here to tell you today that just like Jesus said, if you will lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it. You will never regret giving your life fully to Jesus. Amen? Amen? Never regret it. Because what will happen is you will walk in resurrection life. There will be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There will be food, amen, in abundance as you are satisfied. Because bread means satisfaction. Satisfied in the will of your Father. The reason why I can't get no, it's because people are not in the will of God. If you're in the will of God, you will be satisfied there. If you meet Him at the cross, you will find satisfaction there. Why? Because through the cross is the new life, the resurrection. Amen? We die daily, Paul said. What did Peter do? He ran away from the cross. He ran away. He wasn't there, folks. Mary was there. Mary Magdalene. John. Where were the rest of them? They ran. Many ran. Who about the people that on one day at His triumphal entry, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, they were thinking, hey, free lunch. Overturn the Roman rule, you know. He's here. The Messiah is here. And all of a sudden, a cross is being presented. Where are they now? No, we don't want to identify with Him in that. We'll go with the goods. Come on. You know, there's a lot of people that just like to piggyback on the blessings that others had paid for in tears. How many know that even to have a move of God in a church fellowship, it requires tears. It requires a sacrifice of people, amen, seeking God's face and calling heaven in, amen? And sometimes it means it's going to be work. How many know what prayer is work? But I found out that this is joyful work. See, the ones who are really going to rejoice in that day are the ones who have given now. The ones who have invested this life now are the ones who are going to really rejoice in the day when we see Jesus because we have lived for Him. Amen? And when He sees us, He's going to know exactly who you are. He's going to say, oh, I know who you are. Come on in. I've been waiting for you. You don't want Jesus to say, now who were you? Depart from me, for I never knew you. Well, Lord, we were in association with you. We ate and drank in your presence. Some will even say, Lord, we've done all these miracles in your name. But who are you? Did you do the will of your Father? It's not enough to do miracles. How many know it has to be in the will of God? Everything Jesus did was where? In the will of the Father. It wasn't just stuff that he thought he would do. But I know that I'm going to flatter you for a bit, but the folks that are sitting here really do have a heart for God. You really do want to know the will of God. You really want to live the will. Am I right? Yeah. And you really are willing to go all the way with Jesus? Are you willing to step over that threshold to where there's no return? And the bridge has been burned out behind you. Some of us say, I kind of like the, you know, I don't know completely. There's a little, I found some comfort here on the bridge. But God's saying, you're going to have to scrap it all. It's going to have to all be gone. You're going to have to die with me so that you can live with me. Let it go. Step over that threshold. Here I am, Lord. That's it. I'm not looking back. Jesus said, any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Amen. We're not of those who shrink back to perdition or destruction, but to those who believe to the saving of the soul. Philippians 3:18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies, are you hearing, of the cross of Christ. These are letters written to the church. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. Do you see the connection? To be an enemy of the cross means that I live only for this life on the earth. It doesn't matter if I call myself Christian or not. Many are calling themselves Christians. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. Amen? They're identifying themselves with Him and they're willing to go outside of the camp to bear the reproach of Christ. I remember the old song sung years ago, the old rugged cross. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away where His glory forever I'll share. Are we willing to identify and join ourselves with Jesus? In order to do that, we have to die to ourselves. We have to be willing to give our lives. Are you with me? Have you already died with Jesus? If you're already dead, then you just walk in resurrection life. That means I'm done with what was. Come on, the bridge is burned out. I made the transition. I'm all in for Jesus. I'm going to serve God the rest of my life. Jesus said, those who do the will of my Father abide forever. There are many false professors in the church today as well. Again, these false grace teachers. Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. Do you understand, folks, that if we are not agreeing and coming into agreement and working out and walking out the will of God for our lives, that we're not really followers of Jesus? That means we're not a Christian. You may call yourself a Christian, but a Christian is a follower of Jesus. And the heathen were the first ones to use that name. They called the church Christians because they were Christ followers and Christ callers. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. How many know that if you are living a life of idolatry, if you're living a life of immorality, if you're living a life in rebellion to the will of God, that you are actually denying Jesus Christ? In works, they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Jude 1:4, it says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed into the church, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness," or in the King James it says licentiousness. That means giving yourselves a pat on the back and you're saying, "I can live any way I want because I'm under God's grace." I had someone that I knew quite well one day sit at a table, and she wanted to debate to me whether or not you could lose your soul. And she made this comment. She said, "I could go out today and cheat on my husband. I'm still going to heaven." How many know that somebody that can say that does not know God? Does not have the fear of God? Somebody who could say that does not understand His ways? How many know that God is not winking at sin? How many know that God hates sin and God still hates sin, and that God doesn't hate sin one day and the next say it's okay? Sin destroys people. He loves people. He doesn't want us destroyed. So He's saying you must turn away from your sin and come by way of the blood. If you will repent, if you will change your mind about the way you're going, then I'll forgive you. I'll give you my Spirit and I'll show you the way to walk. Are you with me? See, this is the time we're living in, folks. And I hope there's nobody here today that's the same thing. I say, "I ain't ever coming back here. I don't like what he said." Because if you are, you need to really examine yourself, folks. Let me tell you this, because we just read that Paul had instructed Timothy to preach the word. Reprove, rebuke with all authority. He said, "Let no one, despise you." He said, "Because the time is coming when men will not endure sound teaching or doctrine." But we're living in that time where people just want to be told what they want to hear. And as long as you do what I say, it's kind of like sitting in the bleachers, at the game. "Well, I'm paying for their salary, so they got to do what they got to play like," and it's funny. We yell at the team, and we're eating popcorn, drinking Coke, and yelling at the team down there. And when they miss the call or they blow it, we're just like, "Oh, you bozo," and you're yelling at them and stuff. And you're not out on the field. You're not out there. How many know it's easy for us to become critical when we're not out there? It's easy to be critical when we're really sitting around soaking and souring and not doing really anything for God. It's easy to be critical about people who are. "Brother, let me get that sliver out of your eye." Not realizing you've got a beam in your own, right? Let us examine ourselves. Mike Bickle said this: "The number one dangerous threat today is the distorted grace message." Distorted grace, as he called it. False grace is the grace we give ourselves, and not God's grace. What does God's grace look like? Are you ready? You want to know what God's grace looks like? Titus 2:11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us," what? "That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might do what? Redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people who are," what? "Zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, encourage, rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you." Holiness and works are our response to the cross of Jesus. Think about it. A holy life and a life of service to God is our response to the cross of Jesus. If we deny the cross, or if we think that the message of the cross is not relevant today, then we are preaching a different gospel. We are receiving a different Jesus altogether. When Jesus spelled out what it was like, what it was going to require to be a follower of His, that's when people, well, I'm out of here. I'm not interested. The rich young ruler who appeared to Jesus, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what did He say? What are the commandments? Right? Love God, love your neighbor, right? He said, keep the commandments. He said, all these I have kept from my youth on up. I've lived a really clean life. But then He goes on and He inquires further. He says, but what else must I do? Well, Jesus said, since you asked, sell everything you have. Everything. And give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. He was this far, folks, from stepping over the threshold. Do you know, Jesus might not have even asked Him to do that or really required Him to do that. But Jesus tested His heart to see where He was at. Was He willing to step over that threshold? Are you with me? To meet Jesus there in that place of selflessness. He was willing to do whatever God told him to do. And when He stepped over into that threshold, He was stepping into eternal life. But because He had many riches, and He had trusted in His riches, and He was in love with His stuff, it says that He walked away sorrowful when the Lord had asked Him to do such a thing. He was not in the place where He was willing to surrender His life. He did not want to give up His life. And this is the condemnation, folks, is that people do not want to give up their life. If God requires something of us, are we willing to let it go? We have to ask ourselves that question. If you want to be His servant, if you want to bear fruit, you want to glorify your Father, it's going to require at times that we do, and most of the time, that we're sacrificial in the way that we live. That we're just not living for our comfort. You see, the church today is telling people how to be comfortable, how to be prosperous, how to be wealthy, how to be happy, how to be, you're the most wonderful person. You know what? God doesn't say that. God says you're a worm and you need salvation. Amen? You're a mess and you need to be forgiven. You need to get down on your knees and let the blood of Jesus wash you. Amen? And purify and change your heart. And then I'll give you a brand new heart that wants to love and serve me. Amen? That's willing to go all the way. Hallelujah. But God's saying, I don't want you to just begin walking in the Spirit. I don't want you to put your hand to the plow and start going in the right direction and then start looking back and say, well, I'm kind of having second thoughts about this whole thing. Are you with me? Faith is us being willing to go all the way into the deep end. Amen? It's not splashing around in the safe kiddie pool. It's like, God, I'm all in. Are you willing to make that decision today? If any man will save his life, he will
lose it.
But if he loses his life for my sake in the gospel, he shall. All right. You'll find it. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not this world. It's not temporary living. It's what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This is a feel-good message today, isn't it? You know what? I've discovered something, that I have to feel bad before I can feel good. Yeah, I have to feel bad first, and then I'll feel good. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. We have to feel bad about our sin. We have to be broken over our sin. We have to know how awful sin is. We have to know that it was our sins that cost Jesus His life. Amen. And the torments of the cross were a result of our choices that we made in rebellion to God's law. And we need to understand that it was because of me that Jesus had to go to the cross. And I should be broken, not only because I got caught, but because, amen, I'm sorry. for what I did and how I hurt God's heart. How I broke His heart. See, the cross of Christ does not eliminate our responsibilities to God. It actually redefines them. Our responsibility now is to follow Jesus, to serve Him, and to live for Him. You know what legalism is? Because if you say, oh, that's legalism. Legalism is our attempt to get to heaven by bypassing the cross of Jesus. That's what true legalism is. It's trying to get up some other way except through the cross of Jesus. Are you with me? Through my works or whatever. No, it's only through a crucified life and a submission to the will of my Father that I'm going to abide with Him forever. Are you with me? That's the Word of God. And we can look at Scripture with a bias because I kind of like God to be like this. And so when I look at Scripture, He's going to have to fit into my preconceived theology. So when I read it, it has to fit my box. Rather than saying, well, what does the Holy Spirit say? And what does Scripture clearly teach about this? God says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There is no hope except coming through the cross. And the cross means I'm dead to the world, but alive to God. I'm dead to my ideas and my ways. I'm going to follow in His ways. That's the cross. I'm going to join Jesus in His shame and reproach outside of the camp, even though some of my friends, in fact, all the friends I used to have, a couple of them got saved, but the rest of them, they didn't want nothing to do with me. But you know what? There's a cost. There's a price to pay, amen, for the will of God. And it's worth it. I'll never go back. I'll never look back. There's nothing back there. There's no bridge to walk back over. Amen. I'm in this all the way. How about you? Yeah. We're going in there. We're in the deep end, man. Yeah. And you see, it's in the deep end where the river of God's presence just moves you. Amen. Yeah. You're not flailing. You're not treading water in the pool, the stagnant pool of religion. You get into the deep end. Get into the river and let God just take you. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, what we think we're losing is something that actually you're not losing. You're actually gaining way more what you think you're going to have to give up. If God says, give up that habit, give up that addiction, do it. Get rid of it. If you have to cut your hand off, do it. He said, get rid of it. Pluck your eye out if you have to. Get rid of it. Why? Don't let it stop you from walking in the resurrection. What I have for you is so far superior to what you think you're going to lose or give up. How many know that tolerating sin is not walking in love? How many know God's intolerance of sin resulted in the death of His Son? If you love Jesus, you love His Word, right? The truth doesn't always feel good initially. Hear it. It doesn't always feel good initially. But how many know that the truth will make you feel good? You got to feel bad sometimes before you can feel good. You have to be broken before you can be, amen, put back together by God. We got to be like that clay that's pliable in His hands. Say, Lord, whatever you got to do with me, go ahead and deal with it. I'm just that pliable clay. You know, you got to put some water of the Word in me. You got to kind of, amen, beat me up a little bit, break out, get the air bubbles out of me, whatever you got to do, get the stuff out. And I'm just going to be pliable. I'm going to let you spin me on that wheel and make me into a vessel of honor that you can put your glory into. Amen. And not only will you be rejoicing in the day when you see me because you've made me beautiful because I yielded myself and allowed you to do that. But not only that, but we'll have fruit that endures, that remains. We'll bring fruit back to God. Amen. And say, Lord, I've gained more than what you gave me. Repentance is not just saying you're sorry. I've done that. I've said I'm sorry a billion times. And I used to say I was sorry quite a bit. But I didn't change. I didn't change my mind. I didn't turn. How many have done that? You've been sorry, but you didn't turn. You didn't change. Repentance requires turning away from sin and following Jesus. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Luke 8:21, Jesus answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you, speaking. James 1:21, so get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God as planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to the word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. That's the New Living Translation. And in James 4:4, he's pretty bold about this. Pretty straightforward. He's saying, you're cheating on God. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? It means to be an enemy of God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you understand that what God is calling us to do is to meet him at the cross, to make the step over the threshold into this new life, amen, and not look back and not go back, amen? Because if we shrink back, you only shrink back into destruction. We're not of those who shrink back into perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. This is Paul the Apostle speaking to the church at Corinth. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. In Revelation 22:14, Jesus said, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Are you willing to make this step today? The full plunge, as we call it here. Say, Jesus, I'm done with my way. My life, I want your life. I want to live forever. I want to abide in you. I want to glorify you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. Are you here today and you're saying, that's me. I want to make that full plunge. I want to step over that threshold out of the past, out of what was, out of death, and into life. And I'm going to join with Jesus in that place, even if it costs me my life. I'm willing to go all the way with you, Jesus. And so let us not be hearers of the word only. Discover what the will of God is for you. Find out what it is. Pray. Seek his face. Get in the word of God. Find out what God wants you to do. And get busy. Bear fruit unto eternal life. Hallelujah. Don't compromise your eternity for temporary. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We thank you.